RadioMD. RadioMD.com.
He's your radio friend with lots and lots of good health information and advice. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Today we have learned all different kinds of things through media, through radio shows, through reading, and still the confusion is kind of knee-deep as we're kind of wading our way through it. But learning more about the bacteria and what bacteria to look for, these things are helping to get all of us a little bit more comfortable with the idea of probiotics for life and for health. Natasha, when you take a look at the idea of these bacteria, what kind of controls have to be in place for making certain strains? Do the laboratories have to be adjusted differently for every different kind of strain? Every different kind
absolutely.
Of bacteria?
Yeah, every bacteria has a different requirement for optimal growth and, thriving. We grow ours in thermally controlled areas, clean rooms. You know, it's a pharmaceutical grade so that there's no other bacteria or contaminants present. And so that's what you want to do. You want to give the bacteria of your choice that you're selling to the consumer every possible feasibility for it to be happy with its environment so that it can produce the desired benefits by the end user. That's really the bottom line, because if you cram the bacteria, stress them out in order to make a marketing claim, you're going to have an uneven product and even a product that doesn't deliver the results that maybe were even available in a clinical trial. So this is where we're, need much better scrutiny. For instance, if the product is not kept in a thermally controlled environment through processing and shipping, the change in temperature will wake up the bacteria, make it thrive while it's inside the capsule or the bottle, and by the time you get it, you have no idea what the potency is or how stressed the microbes are that you're ingesting. And if in this day and environment, you need bacteria that are not stressed, you need them healthy, you need the potency that's declared on the label to be there. Because let me tell you, the super strains of bacteria don't need to be come in those high concentrations, because the lower concentrations of these bacteria will function better than some of the high potency claims that people make on the stressed and less desirable bacteria. That's basically it. So that, it's like comparing a racehorse and then, rounding up horses in the wild and thinking that, one of those horses without training and scrutiny will perform as well as the racehorse. It just doesn't happen.
When these strains are manufactured, these bacteria are actually put together and they are ready to leave the laboratory. Obviously, the next thing is, of course, testing and testing the counts and the stability and all that. And then we have to go to bottling. Bottling is not as easy as it sounds, is it?
No. Everything has to be controlled. And the testing has to be validated by some independent third agency that comes in and audits your plant to make sure what numbers you're putting down are accurate and that you're not just fudging the numbers. And then, the bottling also has to be done in a controlled environment, not just nitrogen flush, which we've been doing since time immemorial, but not even advertising, because it's not the most important aspect. Most important aspect is to make sure that the environment of the room where you're encapsulating or bottling your product has the right moisture level or the water activity so that your product doesn't get damaged during processing. That's so important, and many people don't even visit the contract manufacturer that makes the product that they label and sell to stores or their customers. And many people are duped into thinking that just because a product sits in the refrigerator in the health food store, that it's actually been processed under stringent conditions or taken look at. If you talk to your health food store owner or person on the aisle, they'll tell you that there are manufacturers that send the product in a hot shipment and then ask the store to refrigerate once it gets there. And if the consumer doesn't know about this, they should be outraged. The store should return this product. We should get back to some kind of a standard if we're going to have efficacious products that we sell to the end consumer. So coming back to, that's why all of this needs to be thermally controlled during processing and shipping. So each bacteria then is given a chance to be in an arrested growth phase. Now, this is very important for everybody to understand that the way we try to control this bacteria so that it does the most good benefit or the most good for the end user, which in cases is the patient or the consumer that goes into the health food store, is to make sure that the bacteria doesn't wake up at the wrong time. And the bacteria will wake up if the moisture level inside the capsule or inside the container goes up because there's a fluctuation of temperature that's severe, or they're exposed to, you know, heat or other moisture barriers. So if it's in a plastic bottle, that's not a good moisture barrier for these probiotics. If it's not thermally controlled, then the moisture will seep back and forth. And what happens? The bacteria wake up inside the capsule, and if there's multiple strains, they'll start competing with each other because they want to dominate. And you'll have a battle going on in the capsule inside the bottle before you even consume the product, and they'll be much more weakened than if you had a healthy selected strain that was handled with, you know, white glove treatment throughout the processing and shipment so that it can deliver the most benefits when you ingest the product.
You know, when you look at the idea of the intricacy that goes into making a probiotic, I mean, I've been on the receiving end. I've seen what a quality shipment looks like. It comes in and it's in a protected container and it's cold. I mean, it's really cold in there. And when they go from cold right to a cold refrigerator, there's the stability. You know, the consistency. I've also been on the receiving end over the years of things that come in a hot box with that note, put it in the refrigerator after receiving. So I understand that frustration.
Yeah, it is a frustration because we've got a nation in trouble. We have sick children, we have sick people, and they come to the store or to their alternative health practitioner believing that, you know, they're getting the highest quality product. And that's why I go back to the standards. The industry spent years coming up with standards, not just for probiotics, but for other categories. And all the quality manufacturers, whether they make probiotics or whether they make omega-3s or whether they make, you know, coenzyme Q10 or whether they make enzymes, are having the same problem, is that often or more so than not, what's listed on the label is not found in the product. And the consumer should be very vigilant to make sure that they're not being fooled by a slick marketing company. A lot of companies look very, you know, reputable. They have great advertising in the internet, yet when you ask them about their shipment, they'll ship it to you unrefrigerated, or they'll ship it with just one ice pack thrown in, and that thing will melt all over the product, allowing moisture to seep into the plastic bottle. And the consumer is ignorant and then wonder why they're not getting results with this product. And that's why education is so key, because I believe that by having the right probiotic supplementation program, consuming the right diet and right exercise program, we can literally transform the health of our nation, which really needs transformation at this point.
Well, let me ask you a question. I understand, you know, we get naive, you know, and we have trust. And as a consumer, and then we just trust everything to be exactly what it is on face value, behind the mask, if you will. And I think that sometimes when we consumers are trying to get the benefit, obviously, and probably even in the worst probiotic, there's going to be a little hint of something that's still good in there. But when we want to rely on what's on the label, we have to make sure that all the pieces are in place to be able to get what's truly on the label. And that may not be the norm out there. So my question is, as a consumer, you go into a health food store and you are looking at a label or trying to feel the product and get a better understanding. We try to train people to look at their products and read labels and ask questions. Is there, or are there, just a couple things they can look at on a label that would give them an idea if the product is true to form?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, what I call the, you know, things that the consumer can look at. Just forget any product that sits on the shelf and tells you it's shelf stable. So when you get to the refrigerator, eliminate all products that are not in dark colored glass, because, you know, glass is the most impervious material to any kind of moisture coming into it. So it has to be glass because it says that even the tiniest amount of moisture will wake up these bacteria. So now you have the probiotic bacteria in the refrigerated section, and make sure that the product is kept refrigerated from the manufacturer to the store, and that the store is just not putting product in there that came in unrefrigerated or without any kind of thermal control, especially during hot weather months. Now, most importantly, when you look at the label, make sure that each organism that's listed has a potency associated with that organism. And what I have found, that I have not found any multi-strain product except mine that specifically lists how much of each one of those organisms you're getting in the product. Without that knowledge, what is the purpose of that organism being in that mix? And what if it's, you know, zero viability at the end, you know, during or at the end of the shelf life? You know, why list the microorganism? And what does the consumer know about that microorganism that makes it understand, what is this bacteria for? Is it for my small intestine? Is it for my large intestine? Is it for my transient flora? So what I tell people is, when you see four or more strains listed on the product, or even three strains, or even two strains, make sure that each strain or species has a specific potency that's guaranteed through the end of the expiry date or best before use date. Without that, you're wasting your time and money. And I can assure you, if you look at all of the products on the shelf that list these multi-strains, not one of them will tell you exactly how much of each organism they have in the product. They'll give you a total count, and sometimes they even have the audacity to give you the amount of milligrams these bacteria are therein, and that's a totally fraudulent way of disclosing of the efficacy of the product, because bacteria are not measured in milligrams, because you can have 20 milligrams and zero live bacteria. So it's, you know, it's really buyer beware.
Does the CFU unit provide clarity?
Yes, it has to be. That CFU stands for colony forming units, mm-hmm. and each, as I said, a species or strain listed on the label. Sometimes you'll have like 8 to 14 species. Each one of those ones have to be listed. How many CFUs that specific species or strain is found in the product through an expiry date? And then, you know, you can know exactly what you're buying. How would you like to buy a multiple vitamin and have no milligrams or any kind of designation that you understand? And it just, you know, lists everything, and it just tells you that it contains the minimum daily requirement. Well, you as a consumer would be up in alarm. What do you mean? I don't know how much B6 I'm getting in this formula, or how much B12, or how much niacin, or how much folic acid. I hope that translates well to the consumer. That's exactly what you're getting with a probiotic product that lists all these species and strains on the label, and then doesn't tell you in colony-forming units what the potency is of each of those strains through an expiry date.
I have a question for you, and this is something that I know I do hear from people out there. The expiration date on a product, obviously, for some companies, maybe it's be words. But if it is a quality company that has the great delivery, they are growing their bacteria correctly, they're bottling, they're transporting, and the stability is in proper form, at the expiration date, how long is the product good after that?
Well, it depends on the abuse of the product. Now, if the product has been handled according to the suggested manufacturing company's recommendation, it can be good for a couple of months after the expiry date. The company, an ethical company, will try to take into consideration all and any abuse that might happen to the product during transport, sitting on the shelf, or abuse by the consumer. So, you know, based on in our historical use, we give it an expiry date. But if you look at it under laboratory conditions, we usually see pretty much a couple of months after the expiry date of viability.
Okay, that makes good sense. There's just so many different pieces to this gigantic puzzle. You know, everything from, you know, the background, the measuring of the bacteria, the bottling, and thinking about what's going on inside the bottle. And then once the bottle is done, proper labeling, you know, and labeling correctly. And then the checking and the diagnostic of the bacteria. And then the shipping. And then hopefully that people on the other end of that shipping are being responsible and putting the product directly in a refrigerated area. And then the people that are buying it are getting it home and refrigerating it as soon as they get home. And then using it on a regular level. It's just this huge amount of dominoes where if one little domino is out of place, it can throw off the progression of the quality and the benefit of the product.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole reason for what I call the shell game, mm-hmm. is that the people selling the product don't want to bother with it and have, you know, complained to me that, you know, I'm ruining the sales by sticking to a standard. And my position is that, you know, our obligation to the consumer is to make sure that the consumer gets what they're paying for. And so, therefore, I say that, you know, it's best to choose a product from a company that actually researches, formulates, and makes their own probiotics and ships them in thermally controlled packaging to air to your doorstep or to the health food store or to your naturopathic doctor. And that's, you know, very simple guidelines to look for and to make sure that, you know, once you receive that product that, you know, you can understand the label. And the label doesn't look like a spilled alphabet soup of microorganisms that doesn't give you any designation of what's in there. Because trust me, those multiple microorganisms are attacking each other in that capsule because they're forced to survive. And that's why these so-called manufacturers are not listing the potency of each microorganism, because they themselves don't have a clue what's in there after they mix all these microorganisms.
Kind of a potpourri.
Yeah, it's the kind of like you just throw stuff in and hopefully something will survive so that you get a total CFU count or colony forming units. And, you know, you just list the large, you know, potency that nobody verifies because nobody's really checking. There is no true label program. Nobody's really succumbing to any standard that the industry published and voted on. And I think we have to get back to the realm of when the industry had a true label program because I think the consumer is not being served. And as I said, our nation needs, you know, reform in their dietary habits, in what supplements they take, in what exercise program they're in, because we're definitely not going down the right path. And without this knowledge, we just think that, you know, if somebody recommends a product, and they don't have a background and are not an expert in the field, they have no business recommending anything or standing behind a product because they just don't have the background and the information to sell that product.
Well, I think today we've been able to do a lot of clarification and at least leave people with some things to think about, you know, when they pick up their next bottle of probiotics at the store, some ideas of looking at the label and, you know, and wondering, you know, was this product actually sent here in a refrigerated container? I should ask my store, you know, and looking at the expiration dates and finding out if they have literature on that product to see exactly where the product is manufactured. Was it manufactured in-house? You know, what kind of stringent controls? And I think these are things that we need to ask. I mean, we really do research every other part of our life in detail, you know, and we ask all kinds of questions. So we need to take a look at things and maybe put a little bit more of the ideas and the questions, because I think we are all really, really into a better, healthy living. And probiotics can really make a dramatic difference in the way we live and our health and the way we recover and the way we feel every day and the way we look and the true health of our body from the inside out. So hopefully you got some good information out of this today. So I think it was really, really pointed at a better understanding of probiotics in general. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke. And this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you for listening and stay well.